we're talking about carrying on Shabbos. Now, for Kemat, all practical purposes, for the people here on a regular basis, all of this is irrelevant. Because we live in a situation where, unless you go away for Shabbos, if you go away for Shabbos to somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, there's probably an Erev there too. But people do go away to Chutz Laretz, and there are places that don't have an Erev. And it's good to know these halachas anyway, to realize they exist. If you're ever in a situation, you're going to have to do this. I want to mention one thing which is really relevant here, and it's really sneaking in something that I want to speak about, and using the Hilchos Shabbos as an excuse. I want to speak about the advisability of having an Eruv. Here in Eretz Yisrael, every place has an Eruv. And I think I mentioned already when we started to learn these halachas that that has drawbacks. One of the drawbacks is that people don't know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Children can grow up and never know that you can't carry. And I think I told you the story of the shliach that we had in Miami that was a nice krum guy, but carried on Shabbos when we didn't have an Eruv, not knowing that was anything to think about. He assumed that he's never in a place where I'm Eruv. Okay. So that's one drawback. There's another drawback. We put up the Eruv in Miami, and at that point there weren't a lot of places in America that had Eruv in. Kew Garden Hills, I think, was the first place that had an Eruv, a community Eruv in America. And I think we were the second after that. And Ramosha gave his Haskama to the Kew Garden Hills Eruv, and he gave it to our Eruv also in Miami, in North Miami Beach.
What year was that?
What?
What year?
What year was that? 1976 or 7, something like that.
Right afterwards, we put one up in Washington, D.C. in Silver Spring.
When?
1978.
Oh, okay, I was after that. That was because of us. until then, there were no community Erevin. In New York, there was no Erev. Manhattan, there was a big Shaila, what's it called? But there weren't small community Erevin. There weren't. I think Kew Garden Hills was almost the first one. And after that, it already became fashionable.
Hey, my mother told me that she was in Manhattan and many years ago.
And people did carry.
Used to carry it because there was a northern.
Right, there was a natural Eruv. That Ramosha.
I know, someone
who
said only my mother.
Yeah, there were Kasher people. Rav Kasher. There was a big shiloh about the Manhattan Eruv. Because of the bridges, the Maisa, it wasn't an Eruv. But there were some poskim who said that there was a natural Eruv there. In any case, but that wasn't an accepted, you know, community Eruv or whatever, that's put up special and whatever. Okay, in any case, so after, I asked, before I agreed to put up the Eruv, the Balabatim wanted the Eruv up because it obviously has a lot of benefits. I mean, if you ever lived in a community where there wasn't an Eruv, especially women, with little children, you couldn't go out of the house on Shabbos. You were a prisoner to the house. You couldn't go eat by other people. You couldn't carry food from place to place, and there was and for older people it was a big problem. They had to carry their medicines and canes and a host of other things that were not necessarily mutter to carry, but were necessary. So it the Eruv served a very important role, and it caused communities to grow. Because where there was an Eruv, it was an attraction. To the point when in Miami, after we put up the Eruv, we were looking for a bigger house to move to another house a few years after that. And we were looking at a house, and the person who was selling it says to us, "Well, you know it's in the Eruv." I said, "Yeah, I know it's in the Eruv." That's it. Well, that's, you know, and therefore they hiked the price up another $5,000. So these weren't from people, but they knew that if their house was in the Eruv, that was a reason to make me pay more. In any case, so there are definitely positive things, and the Achronim and Rishonim say that there's a inyan dafka to make Eruvin, and somebody who doesn't believe in Eruvin, doesn't think that it could help, is an apikoris. Somebody who's machmir and feels that the Eruv doesn't satisfy all the halachic requirements, which it can't almost in any place. here in Matityahu it tells, well, even here there's a shaila, but what's it called? But in places where there's walls around the city, right, it's not too much of a shaila. But places where they make an eruv, according to the financial constraints of using Tzuras HaPesach, there are reasons to be machmer. But Lamaisa, Eruvin are a positive thing. So what are the negatives? So we mentioned one. There's another negative that we were concerned about. Before I put the Erev, I called my Rosh Hashiva or Gifter, and I asked him, should I do it or not? People wanted it, again, for all the attractive reasons, and I wasn't sure whether we should put up an Erev or shouldn't put up an Erev. So he said, look, why don't you check with the people who are involved in this, like Rabbi Eider, right, and see what his experience are in the places he put up an Erev. Was it positive? Was it negative? Was it something that makes the benefits outweigh the detriments, or vice versa? So I spoke to him, to Rabbi Eider, and he was very positive, but he said there's certain things to be concerned about. One of the things was making Shabbos kimat into chol, legabe game playing on Shabbos. In many places, I was just now in the States, and in many places, that's the way it is. Kids play baseball on Shabbos regular, as if it would be during the week, football. There was talk of people going playing tennis, just like it would be during the week. There are problems with these things, besides the fact that the carrying, but that's a major problem. And there's always people who think of a tehrim when there's no problem with carrying. Another problem was that people think you can carry everything, and they end up carrying muktzah things too. But that you have to educate people. So when I put up the Eruv in Miami, I made a condition that there'll be no ball playing of any kind in public on Shabbos. And if there would be, I would take down the Eruv. The Eruv was being put up on condition that there never be ball playing. And that lasted all the years I was there. And now I go back there sometimes and I see people playing ball in the streets, football, whatever, and nobody says a word about it. Why am I so marked on this? Right, I've gone through this here in Matityahu from the beginning with kids as they got older, you know, bringing me the Shmir Shabbos Kilchoso or whatever and telling me that, but it says here it's Mutter. And I told them I also know the Shmir Shabbos Kilchoso and I know that it's Mutter, but there's also Yerushalmi that says that there was a city called Tur Shimon that was destroyed because they played ball on Shabbos. And not because they were over in Issa Doraisa, according to many Mefarshim of carrying or whatever, because it just was a zilzul in Kavod Shabbos. So since it says specifically ball playing is brought down in the Yerushalmi, so therefore it's an Inyan not to allow ball playing. And even though parents call me even till yesterday, right, now it's long Shabbos, what are they do with their kids if they can't play ball? Some of them play games without a ball. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do, right, on Shabbos that don't have to be ball playing.
What?
Frisbee. I see you're really on the ball. I have to think about it. I'm not sure. First person asked me the question. That's called ball. Again, the thing is that if it's mutter, it's mutter. But since it mentions ball playing specifically in Yerushalmi, that's why we're so machped on it. It's just us, but there's another reason. It's just a zilzul in Kavod Shabbos. It mamish like a weekday for the kids and for adults. It just it destroys the entire Shabbos atmosphere. Whatever else you have to do, if you know you can't do this and you have to play some game that you can only play Shabbos and you can't play something you play during the week, at least makes it something Shabbos day.
Like Monopoly or something.
Those are different problems. Right? For kids, it's okay as long as it's not games that normally involve writing or fake money. Those two things you shouldn't do. But other kind of games are okay that don't involve writing or fake money. Okay, in any case. So, what kind of ball playing though is also? Not just because of the Chumrah of Moshav Matityahu or whatever. It's not just us. There's other places also. I've other places where the rabbis also announce the same exact thing. Even the things that are mutter, but ball playing not. In any case, the playing with marbles or any kind of game where the ball is rolled on the ground is usur. It's usur on a playing ground that is natural, in other words, like earth or whatever, because you may come to smooth out the place. It's usur on other things like concrete, because there's a gzeira. If you play it there, you may play it on a regular ground also. Those kinds of games, if they're played on a inside, on a narrow floor, not on the floor itself, but on a carpet, or on a board, or on a table, those are mi'ikra din mutter. And even here, games that are played inside, like ping pong. Ping pong anyway is mutter because it's on the table, it's not on a floor.
It's
on inside. What?
It's the ball.
What?
The ball.
I said inside. Inside is okay. The and a person's patio, which is basically part of their house, mistam is also okay. Games that are played normally on the ground, right, unless they're played inside and not on the floor. There, even though today every inside place has a floor and therefore you're allowed to sweep the floor. We don't make exera that maybe you'll sweep a place that has an earthen floor, but that's only for sweeping because it was a necessity. There they were make, but not for playing marbles or any other game. Or like, and soccer is a game that's on the floor. That's usur even without matityo. It's usur stam to play soccer on Shabbos because it's played on a playing ground where the ball rolls on the ground. That's usur. Baseball probably also is the same thing, because if you hit a ground ball, right, and it hits a mound or something in the earth, you smooth it out. So even though you don't roll the ball all the time on the ground, baseball involves a ball that's being hit on the ground, where you could smooth it out. That's also usur mikra adin. Right, a game like basketball, which is not played, well, even there, you dribble the ball on the ground. If there's a mound or whatever of earth, you'd smooth it out. I can't think of too many things, like maybe a catch, just plain catch. That may be only usur because of matityo. But any other kind of thing that involves the ball rolling on the ground is usur. There's no heter for that. Okay. Now, so that's what I wanted to use Hilchos Shabbos to mention, right? Because I've gotten questions in the last few weeks, and I've had a situation where I had to tell parents that they should stop their children playing ball and inviting their friends over to play ball in their backyard. And I've had mothers complain to me that they don't know what to do with their kids on Shabbos. So be a little inventive and find things to do with them. Or make a, what? Tie them up. What? With a slip knot. The, okay. What I wanted to speak about tonight, Legabi Hilchos Shabbos, is what happens if you by accident carry something out into Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. You're supposed to check your pockets Erev Shabbos to make sure that you don't have anything in there. Even here it's a good idea to do, because you shouldn't have muktzah things in your pocket. So before Shabbos you should check your pockets to see that you're not having anything in the pocket that you either could carry out outside Erev or that's muktzah. If you didn't, or you miss something, and you end up having something in your pocket or something that you're carrying by accident, so what do you do? So I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to do, and it's not so easy to really follow these halachas, because they are, practically speaking, very difficult. We'll see in 1 second why. The main thing, the problem here is like this. You're carrying already. You're in Rishus HaRabim, and you see that you have a, let's say, make it something not muktzah, so it's less of a problem. You have your reading glasses in your pocket, okay? Which you're not allowed to wear in Rishus HaRabim either, because you don't need them all the time, and reading glasses are usur to wear stam. Now you have them in your pocket, and you've walked out into Rishus HaRabim. So now the problems are like this. You basically picked up those glasses in Rishus HaYachid, right, wherever you were stationary, right, sitting, standing, whatever, and you started moving in Rishus HaYachid. So you made Nakira, like we said, in order to be chayiv for the malacha, you have to pick something up in one rishus and put it down in another rishus. So you already get half the malacha. You haven't been over any Isser Deraisa yet because you picked up something in Rishus HaYachid. You haven't yet put it down in Rishus HaRabbi. So if that's the case, you didn't stop yet. On the other hand, there's also another Isser of carrying four Amos in Rishus HaRabbi even without picking up and putting down Midr Abonin is Asr. So to walk in Rishus HaRabbi extra is also Asr. So now you're stuck. If you stop, then basically you put it down because putting down your body with the thing on it is like putting down the thing. So you can't stop. If you keep moving ahead, you're carrying in Rishus HaRab, which is also Nisud Rabban.
But the first one would be Nisud Rabban.
What?
The first one would be Nisud Rabban.
If you stop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this would be Nisud Rabban.
Right. So, but you don't want to do Nisud Rabban if you don't have to.
Right.
Well, so therefore, what you should do is the following. Okay? And again, I admit that it is not very practical. But it's one of first possibility. If you know for sure you haven't stopped at all, since you left Rishus HaYachid, okay, you're sure that you didn't stop at all. You've been walking the whole time. Then you should go back, preferably to the Rishus HaYachid you started from, and deposit the thing there, Shaloka Derech. In other words, take the glasses and pick your pocket out and let them drop by themselves, or backhanded, take them out or whatever, and drop in Rishus HaYachid. That way you have annulled the whole malacha. You're back where you started. You picked something up in Rishus HaYachid. You took it through Rishus HaRabim without stopping and put it back in the same Rishus HaYachid. There's no benefit at all. And to do that, the Chatzchila will be awesome. But Lamaisa, you've at least minimized the Aveil.
You still over the Rabbanim.
Yeah, but this way you've minimized the problem. Second possibility. If you've stopped, let's say you stopped already. Okay, or you've gone like 2 hours from the original Rishus HaYachid, and you're not interested in walking 2 hours back. Right? But you haven't stopped. So either you've stopped, then it doesn't matter where you are. If you haven't stopped, and it's just inconvenient to go back to where you started, then go to another Rishus HaYachid and deposit it there, the same way we just said. There's a better idea, though, and that's, if it's possible, to find a Makom Patur in Rishus HaRabim. A Makom Patur would be a fire hydrant, parking meter, anything that's higher than 3 tefachim, okay, and lower than 10 tefachim. Lower than 10 tefachim, and what's it called, and Dalad al Dalad. No, less than Dalad al Dalad. What? Right, less than Dalad al Dalad. It's not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which is a approximately a square foot. Okay, so that's not something. A square foot is pretty big. So it's just more like a parking meter, a fire hydrant, or whatever. And then you can put it regularly on there in such a way that at least it'll stay there for a second, even if it falls off afterwards. But if you put it on and it doesn't even stay for a second, that's not called putting it on top of a Makom Patur. And that's the ideal thing. But there aren't always, you know, readily available fire hydrants in Rishus HaRabim, unless you're looking for a parking space in New York. Otherwise there aren't fire hydrants all around, right, all the time.
You have to do it while you're walking?
You have to do it while you're walking. You can't stop. So you pass by and put it down as you walk.
Kederach.
I'm a Makom Patur, you can put a Kederach. If you're depositing it back in another Rishus HaYachid or other, you have to do it Shalok Kederach.
So you just accept the Hefzid that you're going to go on and it's going to get stolen?
What? Oh, wait. What
that's just love one.
That's, well, right. Now, what, nobody's going to steal your reading list.
It's not worth anything.
One second.
The, where you are.
What? One second. And now, so if you put it in a Makom Patur, then you can't go more than Dalad Amos ahead. So you keep walking around the circle or within the Dalad Amos to try to find a place where you can deposit it. Okay, now, so that's the next possibility, putting it on a Makom Patur, which is in the Dalad Amos where you are. But that's not a possibility, right? All this time, while you're thinking of all these possibilities, you have to be walking around the circle, not going, making any, no stopping and no advancing.
So what about the, like,
3 hours and stopping, 3 hours and stopping.
No, that doesn't help now, because that's so got to be something else. That's got to be something else. Once you stop, you carry, you finish your carrying
from
Shusayochit. Right, from Shusayochit. So, right, if you stopped already, then the option of going back to Shusayochit is not an option. Now you make the Anuisha of carrying from Shusarabim to Shusayochit. Once you stopped, now you only have the possibility of finding something within Dalet Amos where there's a Makom Ptur and bringing it to that. Or, if you don't have that, right, and you've stopped, then you can drop the thing Shelo Kederach, right, backhanded or whatever, in Rishus HaRabim. Okay. Now, that is all very good if it's not something that's of value. But if it's your diamond ring that you can't put on for some reason, right, because your finger is swelled, right? So you don't want to just drop it in Rishus HaRabim and leave it there over Shabbos. So then there are, if it's something valuable, you can find a goy to give the diamond ring to, the who's reliable, right?
No problem, man.
Okay. And here also,
if you stop, and now you started again, if you stop, just stand there. And either find some Eitzah or drop it Shelo Kederach. Because already that's not going to... Or if you can't drop it Shelo Kederach because you don't want to leave it there, so then you can either give it to a goy, and preferably there you hint to the goy to take it from you. Can you please take my diamond ring out of my pocket? I never had anybody ask me that. Right? If it's a very big hefsid, you can even tell him openly to do it. If there's no goyim around. So then you can walk less than Dalet Amos at a time, but you can't walk, you have to run. Right? You have to sprint. You have to make it not walking, because we're afraid if you walk, right, you're going to end up walking more. If you're running at little sprints, 2 amos at a time, you'll know that something's wrong. And you'll remember not to do that. I said it's not very practical. So you're going to run less than Dalet Amos, which is about 7 feet, less than 7 feet at a time. Okay? Then stop. Then run again till you get to Rishus HaYochid, to get back to your house or someplace where you feel it'll be protected. And then, as you go into the Rishus HaYochid without stopping, you drop the thing backhanded, and that's what you have to do.
Yes
and no. If it's really a Carmelist, in other words, most places are Carmelist because they're not 600,000. But if it's really a small, you know, road like here, Moshav roads or whatever, for sure Carmelist. But if it's a big city, you know, in a regular city with big streets, there it could be that it is Rishus HaRabim. We're Mekel that there's dinim of a Carmelist because not 600,000. That's the only reason they should treat it like Rishus HaRabim.
It's kind of a major city, but in a small town.
Still, there's an Issa Drabanan. There's not too much more you can do except these eights.
But if it's not a Carmelist, you can't make any anyway, right?
Well, right. The Carmelist still lost from the Drabanan. The question is...
Does it help any the fact that the Akira was done with the Lee?
But it was it or wasn't it? It wasn't.
Yeah,
it.
No, you did.
It when you left, you didn't know you were carrying the thing. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's called a belief. I'm not sure. Not sure. Because you had Kavana to be Oker Gufo and anything that was on your goof.
No, you didn't know you had it.
What? I don't know, but you had Kavana to be the Oker your goof. So I'm not sure if that's now not. That's since I've included what was in your pocket. You had Kavana for everything that was there. Not sure.
You could have a situation where a person accidentally wandered outside the Eruv and only realized afterwards.
Yeah, but here it's quite impossible to wander outside the Eruv. I mean, again, in our situation, where are you going to go? To walk by Chashma, to walk at Chashma Naim is only a chance.
Sure, so if a person goes to Kutzar or some other place and didn't know exactly where the Eruv is, and realized afterwards that, I saw it.
Right, so then, again, but it means going to Kutzar. Here, it's very unlikely that anybody here. So you have a shayla on Shabbos walking outside.
Here it says this is the end of the era.
Right, but those places you fall off a mountain if you walk past them. They're not.
No,
you're on a construction
they
site.
They make internal eruption, or what they call is whatever. They have internal islands.
Even if you go straight out the street, when you come out the Moshav, if you go straight that way, the air cuts off there. There's a road. You can go straight down the.
Right. Okay, and so. Okay, I never, I don't walk past my house in the shul on Shabbos, so I don't, once in a while, it's somebody's house for a kid or something.
Yeah.
Right, less than 10 tefachim high, higher than 3 tefachim.
And if it's less than arba,
less than arba, and higher up is also a makom tur. It's what you call it. It's a Adar Rishus Harabim is above higher than 10 Tvachim, is not the yes, okay, also. But if it's higher than 10 Tvachim and it's Arba Arba, it's Rishus Ayah.
Yeah, no.
It could be anything, even a natural thing, that has that those dimensions. Yeah, but a tree is a problem, it's because of Muktzah. You can't put things on a tree on Shabbos. That's more than 3 Tvachim high. What?
A bush
also has.
Without giving an example of parking meter, it's
more
than a meter.
What?
Parking meter.
Very funny.
Meter, right? No, it is.
It's
more than a meter, it's less than
but it's less than Dalad al-Dalad. So even if it's higher than 10 Tvachim above Shusar Rabin, it's okay.
Yeah,